You are now listening to Well-Fed Women, the show that's been radically changing the way women perceive health, fitness, and their bodies since 2015. I'm your host, Noelle Tarr. Submit your questions to wellfedwomen@gmail.com, and you can keep up with the show on Instagram at wellfedwomen. Welcome to the Well-Fed Women podcast. This is episode number 307. I am your host, Noelle Tarr of coconutsandkettlebells.com. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner and a National Strength and Conditioning Association certified personal trainer. Happy January. I am so happy that you are here today and that we get to spend some time together. It's crazy that 2021 is here. It feels so weird to say that. And we're entering our sixth year with this podcast. And gosh, this has really just been my favorite aspect of my business, mostly because of all of you and this community. So thank you for letting me be a part of your life. Yeah, it's just been an awesome journey. Today, I am so excited because while I've had the privilege of interviewing many different RDs with different specialties and doctors, I've really never done an episode completely dedicated to nutrition and finding the right diet for you. So we're going to cover all of those bases in this episode with my guest, Valerie Ageman, who is a women's health dietitian and expert at helping women flourish by figuring out how to listen to their body and eat in a way that supports their individual needs. Before I bring on Valerie, friends, this is an awesome time to get back into the swing of things with Prep Dish. I absolutely love Prep Dish because it's the easy button for meal planning. They have an amazing team that does all the meal planning for you each week and sends you new and original recipes to go along with those meal plans. You're sent all of the weekly plans, the recipes, the instructions, and a grocery list a month ahead of time so you can review it and stay on top of it. It comes to you via email. I get mine every week. Well, no, every month via email, and it's like 4 weeks. And what I love about Prep Dish is that they help you shop once and prep on your prep day so that everything is prepped and super easy to make on those crazy weeknights. Allison Schaff is a registered dietitian and personal chef. I interviewed her last year on episode number 262. She's the founder and is great at throwing together some incredible recipes that are easy to follow. And each week you can choose from dietary friendly meal plans like gluten-free, paleo, or keto. It saves you time and money. It gives you back some sanity, which is awesome. And with our link, you actually get a free 2-week trial. So just go to prepdish.com/wellfed. There's nothing to lose with that. It's an offer exclusive to us. So just go for it. If anything, you get some really awesome new recipes. Again, that's prepdish, prepdish.com/wellfed. Now let me bring on Valerie. Valerie is a women's health dietitian and founder of Flourish Heights. Through her platform, she empowers women to prioritize their overall health and well-being. She is a trusted expert in food and nutrition and has been quoted in online publications like Cosmopolitan Magazine, Women's Health Magazine, Today, and has made TV appearances on local networks, including ABC's Good Morning Washington show, which just so happens to be broadcasted to my very own living room. Welcome, Valerie.
Hello. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to have you on. I know this has been in the works because you are incredibly busy and have so much going on. And so I'm so thankful that you've taken the time to be here today. And obviously, an interesting fact about you that most people have picked up on is that you're just down the street from me in Washington, D.C. And what I love about Flourish Heights is that you present information about nutrition in a way that is empowering and it's positive and it's not at all shame driven. And you do a great job of just encouraging women to listen to their body. So when you were pursuing this, you know, you're becoming a registered dietitian, did you know that that was the direction that you wanted to go with your business?
I've always had a passion for just helping women, and I've always had this interest in nutrition since I was just 16. So I was in high school. I didn't really know a dietitian existed, just through my personal experience and just things that I've been through. I've really found that maybe I can pursue this field. Everything kind of just fell into place. I'm grateful for that. You know, even going through my own you know, challenges growing up with, you know, body image and just not having a great relationship with food and kind of going through my own quote unquote healing process with that. I have just wanted to, you know, help women, empower women, just let them know that wellness, you know, wellness belongs to everyone. Everybody can be healthy and it doesn't have to be complicated. And that's what I do with my platform. I'm really all about women's wellness, empowerment, and, you know, it can be made for you once you decide, you know, you find that routine that works for you, that brings you joy, that fits into your lifestyle. And so that's typically where it began. And now we're just, you know, reaching so many women across the United States, even internationally. I do some work in Ghana as well, before COVID, of course. and so, yeah, this is really more of like, you know, my passion and it's a purpose. It's my purpose. So I'm grateful to do the work that I love. And I'm grateful that it helps many women also. Yeah.
Ghana, that's amazing. So what, we were talking a little bit about this before we hit record, but how are you dealing with some of the challenges of 2020 with your business? Because I have a lot of women right now are just going through a lot of challenges trying to be teachers at home and also run their business and run jobs or, you know, have other jobs from home. So how have you been able to kind of shift what you're doing, which traditionally, you know, let's say 10 years ago was all in person. And how are you kind of adapting and moving your practice online?
It hasn't been much of a difference for me because I've kind of built this digital platform. It's always been digital from the beginning. And, you know, Flourish Heights, it is my passion project and what I do. But I also do have other jobs to just support, you know, the work that I'm currently doing. And so we did a lot of in-person events before. I guess that was pretty much the main change. But we do a lot of things virtually. I mean, telemedicine, telehealth is becoming really big. So that helps. And as we're building and adding more services, soon we'll be seeing patients and clients for nutrition counseling. And so that's going to be done virtually. So I wouldn't say there has been much of a change for me. It's kind of been very convenient. I'm really just excited that I get to meet women just in the comfort of their own home. We get to just, you know, chat a little longer. We don't have to worry about the stress of getting, you know, to kind of meet in person. So it's been a blessing in disguise, I will say that. Yeah, it helps.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it was cool that you were already kind of building this online platform before this all started. And what a blessing to have that to be able to shift to. And I think it's cool that so like people like you are able to reach people now and, you know, serve them across the country. You know, we're in D.C. You could potentially be meeting with people all over, you know, all the way on the other side of the country and be helping them through many different services that you offer and really help them bring about health in a way that works for them, which I think is, I mean, a lot of people can feel trapped. Like when they go to their personal PCP, I'm like screwing up that acumen for their personal, wait a second, their primary care physician. And they're told, you know, hey, you need to make these changes. And they're like, wait a second, what? Like, how's that going to work in my life? And women, I think, struggle in so many different areas because of the fact that we have hormones and pregnancy and just stress. And we're a hot mess. And so I just love that people like you are able to reach so many more people with the internets. If you are not seeing proven effects or seeing noticeable results from the probiotic you're taking, it may be time to reassess simply because a lot of probiotics contain untested strains and they aren't maintainable in the human digestive tract. So what I would suggest is trying a supplement like Bioptimizer's P3OM. It is a proteolytic probiotic that survives your stomach acid and digestive tract, and it makes it into your gut. P3OM contains strains of probiotics that improve your digestion and nutrient absorption, helping ensure your digestive tract and immune system stay strong and healthy. Gut issues aren't just about bloating and digestion. It is where your immune system lives, and your gut plays such an important role in your ability to fight off viruses and keep pathogenic bacteria at bay. And while other probiotics require refrigeration and often die in transport and on the shelf, P3OM doesn't need refrigeration at all. It also has been clinically proven to give you more energy, less bloating, and more mental clarity. Support your immune system and gut health by going to bioptimizers.com/wellfed. You'll find our special offer there. Again, it's bioptimizers, so it's bioptimizers.com/wellfed. By using the promo code WELLFED10, you'll also get 10% off your order. Try it out, see how it works for you. I talk about this probiotic a lot because there are so many out there that aren't proven and have little to no research behind them. P3OM, which is apparently a tongue twister, is antiviral. It actually eliminates pathogens and waste and is maintainable in the human digestive tract. Again, that's bioptimizers.com/wellfed, and make sure to use our code. It's WellFed10 for that extra discount. So you obviously have worked with so many people and have a lot of clinical experience helping people figure out, you know, what diet is right for them. So what factors are important for women to consider when trying to find a diet that is right for them?
Ooh, the big diet question of the day, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, before I really get into those factors, I think it's just important to understand that, just like I mentioned earlier, we are just a hot mess. And in the most positive and, you know, respectable way possible, our bodies are complicated. Our bodies are different. And our bodies react differently to, you know, various eating plans and diets and exercises. And, you know, some of those which may actually do more harm than good, especially if you have existing conditions. And so it's really important to find what works for you. I think we're bombarded by all sorts of diets that we find in the media, on social, you know, on the internet, in magazines. And it can be a little overwhelming. It's like, okay, well, you know, this diet saying that I can, you know, be my most healthiest self, and, you know, I need to follow this amount of calories. But it's really important to just note that, yeah, I mean, it may work for somebody. It may not necessarily work for you. It doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. And so that's the first step. But, you know, don't be so quick to jump on every single health and wellness trend you see out there. Just, you know, do your research, talk to your provider, and then make the most informed decision possible. So our overall health, it is shaped by our lifestyle, even the environment, our genetics. And so observing your body more is really important. Wow. How your body reacts to certain foods, certain supplements that you may be taking. What are your preferences when it comes to food? Do you have any allergies and intolerance? And that makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, what foods make you feel good? What makes you feel energetic? What food brings you joy? Because that's really important too, that, you know, what you're eating and putting into your body is also making you feel some kind of joy. That's important. Mm-hmm. And you know, how are your eating habits now? What is your relationship like with food? And so those are just a few things to consider when trying to find that diet, or I like to use just that eating routine that is best for you, and not looking to the left and not looking to the right, but like focusing in on yourself, because that is the most important thing that you could do.
I love that you said figure out what foods bring you joy, and like, what do you gravitate towards and what do you love? Because I think there's this revolutionary idea, which sounds very basic, but it's like figuring out what's right for your body goes hand in hand with figuring out what like brings you joy and what gives you energy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think women are so trained to stuff that. We're so trained to push away what we love and take our emotions out of eating, which is hilarious. I'm like, how do you take emotion out of eating? To remove that from the equation and somehow be like robots to figure out some diet.
It's awful. And, you know, food, I mean, don't get us wrong, food is fuel for your body. You need to make sure you're filling, you know, your tank with the quality of food, the quantity of food that your body needs to help you operate at your best. But just remembering that, you know, there's that like enjoyment piece, there's that connection piece that's really important, connecting to your culture. That's really important to me. And I'm a Ghanaian. And so my culture is really important. The foods that I eat, really important. You know, connecting to your body, connecting to others. And so it really does. Yeah. I mean, it can influence your mood, your emotions, your behavior. And it's comfort, too, especially during these times. I mean, it's been a rough. I mean, the past year has been rough for all of us in our own way. And so, you know, food for me is a comfort, and you know, it's just, it's the way for me to feel connected. And that's okay, guys. That's perfectly normal. That is a good thing. And I'm so happy that you brought that up too, because we need to understand that there's nothing wrong in finding the joy in food.
You have this term, which I actually had to look up because I thought, I was like, ooh, this sounds cool, but I really want to get to know it more. What exactly is body literacy, and how do we come better at that?
Ooh, body literacy. Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot about just body awareness on my page and my platform. I don't get into the nitty gritties of like, this is what you need to do, et cetera, whatever. But it's like, what is it? What does, you know, being a body aware mean to you? So body literacy, it's just, you know, a little phrase for, that refers to like observing, learning about and understanding your body. And really the purpose is for you to feel more, more in sync with just your unique self. So when it comes to observing, you know that when you're observing something, whatever it is, you're giving your time to it. You're giving your thought, you're thinking about it, you're paying more attention to it. And, we are very busy people. I mean, what, you know, some of us may have kids, some of us have, you know, really high demanding jobs. And so sometimes we may miss the signals that our body are telling us. But, you know, if you were being more observant, maybe you wouldn't have missed those things. So what this means is, you know, just you're noticing when things are different. So, for example, when you have a fever, when you're sick, or you notice when you're more hungrier, or you notice if you feel very fatigued, or this is going to get a little TMI, maybe you went to the bathroom and you saw that your vaginal discharge was different. So observing, that's number one. I have three. So I'm just going to jump through all of it. Yeah. You're observing your body, paying more attention. Then as you're paying attention to your body, you're learning it. You're looking at the patterns. And then you are turning off those signals that you're observing. So for an example, if you're super fatigued, you know that, oh yeah, I need to go and get some rest, or let me get some extra hours of sleep in. And, you know, shout out to the moms out here, because I know that can be very difficult, easier said than done. So let me just say that, because I know somebody's going to be like, well, I have three kids under five and, you know, it's crazy. So don't come talk to me about it. So I'm just going to say, you know, do the best that you can when you can, you know, whether it's asking for help or whatever you need to do to get those, you know, extra hours of sleep. When you're really hungry, you know that, okay, yeah, I got to eat something. Let me go get a snack, or, you know, from the fridge. And then as you are learning and noticing those patterns, you're able to know when something is wrong. As you do that, you know, for a little while, you're being more in tune, I would say, or in sync. You're going to understand your body a little bit more than you used to maybe 6 months ago. And you'll be able to understand really what those messages, what they're sending you. And like I said, it's really easy to miss those messages if we're not paying attention. And so understanding your body also gives you just that opportunity to gain better control over your health and wellness, and then you'll get more confidence, and then you'll be empowered, you know. And I think that's such a vital part about just health and wellness.
Yeah, I love it. I think that, I mean, as we get older, like as we progress on in our age, we get better at that. If we've been intentional, like you said, like earlier on, and we're observing and we're really seeing what is happening, and then we're kind of making small shifts and changes and recognizing it earlier and earlier, we get better at that. And one of the interesting things that it just, as you were talking, it made me think, because I think everybody's probably thinking of examples, is that, you know, sleep has always been an issue ever since I had two kids. And if I get, and because I was kind of thrust into that, and I realized all these physiological changes that occurs when I'm sleep deprived, I feel it almost immediately. So if I get a bad night's sleep, the next day I'll actually have like a dry throat, and I notice that I'm craving things more, and I'm just more agitated. And so like, I have to tell my husband right away, like, hey, I'm tired. I'm not the nicest person right now, but I'm going to do my best, you know, like little things like that. And then I know that overstimulation is going to make it worse. So I know that I'm going to be more prone to get a headache from my computer. I know that I probably shouldn't be watching TV before we go to bed, and I need to get in bed by 9:30 and not push it, even though it's nice to kind of, you know, chill with my husband. It's just a non-negotiable. So and it's those little tweaks that then that the next day I'm able to come back and be like, cool. Whereas like years ago, I probably would have just kept pushing, you know,
burnout.
Yeah. And then that pushing just pushes you eventually over the edge, and it's not pretty. So
it's not fun at all. No. It's not fun at all.
Yeah. So one of the questions that we get all the time, and I think that it's really important to just talk, like, let's separate these two things and understand the distinction. And one of the things that you can shift around when we're talking about, you know, creating a diet that's right for you. What is macronutrients and micronutrients? So what is the difference between macronutrients and then micronutrients? And then what can we do with macronutrients to help us figure out, or like help our body feel better and, you know, bring about better health?
Yeah. Okay. So in a very simplified, I guess, way of explaining this, macronutrients, so those are your big picture nutrition categories, we'll say that. Mm-hmm. And so you'll find your carbohydrates, you'll find your fats and your protein. So those are, you know, macronutrients, like an umbrella term. And then micronutrients are your more so smaller nutritional categories, such as individual vitamins and minerals. So your vitamin D, your calcium, your zinc, you know, those kinds of things. And so I hear a lot too, like the counting of macros. I think everybody's like, oh, we got to count my macros, got to count my macros. Mm-hmm. And so that's just, you know, an approach where someone or a person is, they're trying to eat like a certain percentage of those calories from each macronutrient group. Like it gets very complicated. And so even like when I'm talking to patients and I'm doing like, you know, one-on-one or just providing some kind of education, we don't go as far as like, okay, this is the exact amount, unless maybe they have a health condition and it's like, oh, we really need to get specific on the amount of carbohydrates they're eating or fats or protein or whatever the case is based on what they have going on. But, you know, for someone who's, you know, pretty healthy and, you know, they don't have much going on with them, it's more of like, you know, just making sure that you're including these kinds of macronutrients at each meal, just, you know, for to feel fuller, to feel better, to feel more energized. And of course, you know, the types of carbohydrates you're eating, we talk a lot about, or the type of fats, the type of proteins. It doesn't have to be so complicated.
Like, what?
No, it needs to be super complicated.
No, it doesn't. We have so much going on with life. The world is smashing down. Like, yeah. Let's not complicate diet. We do not need that at all.
Okay.
Over it.
Yeah, over it. Can the right diet? So this is one of the things that people get stuck on. So they find something that works for them. Say they're doing lower carb for a little bit. You know, they've shifted their carbs down. Or the opposite done. They start eating more carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. Can the right diet change for someone throughout their life? So, in other words, could somebody be following a lower carbohydrate diet and that stop working and they need to do something else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our bodies evolve as we age. And there's a lot of factors that... There's a lot of things that factor into why we're eating what we're eating, why we're feeling what we're feeling, our lifestyle, et cetera. So, yeah, your diet, your eating routine, it will continue to evolve. Mm. That's normal. That's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. It's meant to happen that way. And our lifestyle, yeah, I mean, it may change what we eat, like you're cooking for a family, et cetera. If, you know, what you have access to, that's just a very important conversation. Your health status, mm-hmm. any, you know, health conditions, what you have going on, you know, on a metabolic level may, you know, impact what you need to be eating. Yeah, like as we age, you know, so does our nutritional needs. For example, like a baby, right? Like, yeah. Or a toddler, like who needs 1200 calories? Like you're a whole adult. Do you necessarily need to be eating that amount? No, because that's not going to give you the, you know, proper amount of energy that would make you feel, you know, well or feel good. You may be deprived. It may, you know, even lead to nutrient deficiencies. So yeah. It's, and like when you're pregnant, when you're breastfeeding, your nutritional needs increase. So yeah, I mean, the right quote unquote diet for you who's listening to me right now, I mean, yeah, it's going to change. It's going to evolve based on just life. And yeah, it's like important to just think sustainable. And that's why it's like these quick fixes may not necessarily work. When somebody was putting together this diet, they weren't thinking about everybody specifically. They were thinking about, oh yeah, this is going to solve everybody's problems. And then what happens? There's a new diet and everybody's following it. If diets worked, why is there always a new diet?
There's so many.
Yeah. You know? And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to evolve. It's going to change. That's perfectly fine. It's a part of life as you age, even when you hit your, you know, menopause, when you're becoming an elderly person. I mean, I used to work with the elderly population and their nutritional needs was so different from even like the adult population, which I was also working with at the time. Like, for example, they needed more protein based on what was going on. But then some people didn't. It's just like everything's so individualized. You know, I had patients that had like really bad wounds and also had kidney problems. And they needed the protein, but they also couldn't really like metabolize like the protein very well in their bodies. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I'm getting really technical now, but my point is, it's like your body's going to change. It's, and that's fine. And with that, so is your eating routine and your diet.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's really interesting that you mentioned is that your diet can change throughout your life, not just because, oh, it's not making me feel really well. Oh, my hormones are imbalanced or, you know, I'm starting to feel fatigued or yeah, now I'm doing higher intensity training or whatever. It can change because your stress changes or what you have access to changes. Yeah. So it's these it's not just an internal assessment. Mm-hmm. It's also an assessment of where am I at financially and what can I afford? What do I have access to? Who else am I feeding now? And how is that going to work into the family dynamic? Like, is my current diet working with who I'm living with my partner, with, you know, the friends I go out with? Is it meshing well into my lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
Which,
mm-hmm.
again, is one of those things that everybody tries to ignore because we're supposed to be robots and, like, you know, follow the exact... only eat 50 grams of carbohydrates and exactly, you know, it's just like, how do you... Is that maintainable?
Well, I'm trying to follow your diet. What diet are you on now, girl? Let me know.
I am not on a diet. This is I'm on a what's available today diet. Like,
I know, right?
And you know, I have to rant too, because one of those things that comes up, or that I see a lot from like health influencers, quote unquote, is like, don't eat your kids' food. And I'm like, wait a second. Like,
awkward.
What are you talking about? Like, I'm going to eat my kids' food. Come on. Like, I'm making them food. They don't eat a lot of it. And what they don't eat ends up being part of my breakfast. So there'll be like a whole bunch of smashed raspberries or some, you know, oranges or like extra crackers. I add that to my plate and that's my breakfast. Like, and of course I add a lot of other things with it, but it's not like we have this idea that we're supposed to control and maintain these like strict portion sizes. And that if we eat a little bit of our kids' food, like we'll just adjust and not eat, you know, probably won't have a snack, or we'll eat a lighter lunch or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I'm like, well, I'm not going to waste this. What am I going to do? Throw this away? No, it's going to be like, it makes perfect sense to me that we would share food as like eat, you know, what do you call it? Family dining, you know, like we share. And so it just, to me, it's hilarious that that's a thing that people say nowadays. It's just like, come on, y'all, like get real.
Let's keep it real.
So what are some, so when somebody is obviously, maybe they've decided to do intermittent fasting, let's say, or, you know, lower carb, and, you know, now, well, there, what are some of those signs that we're following a diet that is not right for us? What are the, some of those, and you can get plenty technical, but like, what are some of those physiological changes or signs that is, maybe my nutrition plan isn't really working for me anymore?
Oh, that's a really good question. Some signs. So, of course, it's just going to be different for everybody, but maybe you're experiencing more fatigue, you know, and I'm not talking about, oh, I'm just tired. I'm talking about like you are just like you feel deprived. Like you could sleep for hours if, you know, like more than the, you know, expected or whatever, but you're feeling fatigued. Maybe you're seeing more, you know, skin changes. You're having skin changes. Maybe you're drier than the usual, or you've noticed maybe like some kind of, you know, irritability on your skin, or you have brittle nails.
Yeah.
There's maybe changes in your bowels, like your gut. Maybe you're, you know, feeling more bloated. Or you're feeling like you are very constipated regularly. Maybe that wasn't something that happened before. So definitely changes in those like, you know, bowel regularity. Your mood is important. Like, are you feeling like maybe you're more anxious, or you're feeling like depressed? I mean, there's a lot of research right now on just mood and food connection, and how our diets can impact our brain health, our mood health. There's a lot of information out there, and of course, research is still ongoing, but I think it's very important to note that. This is why body literacy is really important, and just being more aware and in tune and in sync of what's actually happening. Then you can say, oh man, this, I never had all these constipation issues. What am I doing? Of course, that just constipation in itself can be impacted by so many things. But yeah, diet is very, very big, a big one. Yeah. And so, you know, then it's like, oh man, I'm more constipated. Let me take a look at my diet. What have I been eating? Oh, have I been drinking a lot of water? Am I moving my body as much? And et cetera. And that will kind of lead you to make those changes. Like, what do I need to change? Do I need to see somebody? Is this really severe? Let me, you know, do my research. So just some basic signs, general signs. But yeah, just understanding that, you know, it's like, what is your why behind following a certain diet that's out there? What is your why? You know, it's not being impacted by, oh man, everybody's doing it, I need to do it too, or, you know, being easily influenced. It's not for the sake of, you know, someone else and thinking that this is what's best for me.
Yeah. You scratch the surface of something, which is really interesting, which is like, what's your why behind it? And I think we all have to like check ourselves when we're talking about what are we doing and why are we doing it when it comes to our nutrition behaviors. And I like what you keep saying. You keep saying eating routine, which to me sounds so wonderful. Like it's so much better than a diet, you know? And what is your eating routine? Like this is, it's like we all have routines. What's your eating routine? So, if what's our like gut check, you know, why are we doing this diet? Why do we keep pushing ourselves to do it? Why are we following keto? Why are we following intermittent fasting? And you could have absolutely wonderful reasons for doing that. And it actually, and, you know, it works for you and all the things. So, you know, go for it. But if you're pushing and pushing and pushing because your friend's doing it, and she says it's working or whatever, and you really, you know, your worth is wrapped up in your weight and you really feel like I need to be losing weight. And so you're doing things that aren't right for your body because someone's telling you you should. And you're really hoping that that's going to work to lose weight, or you're prioritizing, you know, weight loss over health, which is a real thing. Then you totally lose touch of what is right for you. So I love that question of like, why are you doing it? And really examine that before you kind of move forward with, or if you're starting to experience a lot of the signs and symptoms that you gave us, which is, you know, a whole slew of both physiological, but also mental and emotional symptoms. You know, if you start to experience those things, I think the first step is like, why am I doing this still? You know, oh, cool. Like this isn't working anymore. Let me explore that. And if you start to feel a little anxious about letting go of it, like, why is that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So let's jump into some questions from our community. This one is from Shelby Love. She says, what are some good in generals when it comes to nutrition? Like in general, it's good to eat X serving of veggies. I am looking to eat a diet that is sustainable for me and I'm looking for some good rules of thumb to follow versus more overarching claims like gluten is evil for everyone always.
Well, hey, Shelby, great question. My answer is don't make it complicated, as complicated. You know, of course, it's important to think about the plate. And I like using that as a reference, but it's literally just a reference, meaning that you can adjust based on your body, what it needs, and based on what you have going on in your lifestyle as well. So when I say the plate, I'm talking about, you know, making sure half of your plate fruits and vegetables, making sure a quarter is, you know, a carbohydrate, making sure you're also having some protein, thinking about, you know, grains, what kind of carbs are you having? You know, carbs are not evil, FYI. You know, adding, you know, making sure you're getting a variety. Maybe it's, you know, trying different whole grains, getting creative. There's so many out there. And then like being flexible, being intuitive. I love like the intuitive eating approach. And then of course, figuring out what works for you. And, you know, just kind of looking at your hunger and fullness cues, your satisfaction, trusting your body and knowing that whatever it's asking for, you're providing that. So, specifics, you know, just including those fruits and vegetables, your protein, your carbs, all that good stuff. Eating a variety of foods, but still thinking about the foods that give you joy. If that looks like chocolate, do your thing. I love chocolate. And so that's a big part of my eating routine. we talked, you know, earlier about just the foods that bring you joy. So I hope those are good in generals. That's a good place for you to start. And then you kind of tweak it to what you like, what works for you, what makes you feel good, and the whole nine yards.
It's interesting because I was like listening to some podcast recently, and I don't usually listen to health and nutrition podcasts, but it was somebody had brought up something like, what, like just what you said, it was something very simple, like half your plate should be fruits and vegetables. And I was like, oh, like, and I'd gotten in such a routine of with breastfeeding and just like postpartum stuff of just eating like bars and dried fruit and grabbing things that weren't, you know, fresh. And I was like, oh, wow, like I don't really eat fresh foods unless it's like my big salad at dinner. No wonder I'm kind of feeling like meh and sluggish and tired. And so it was at that moment that like I changed what, you know, I ate in the mornings, and it's, you know, usually been an avocado and some sort of mandarins. I eat like three or four of them now in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, like that, I was kind of like, how did I not think about this before? But then once I started doing that, it really, and thinking about, okay, what's the fresh stuff on in my diet, on my plate right now? That makes a huge difference. So,
oh, yeah. You got to start from somewhere. I think that's a great, like, foundational, but it doesn't always have to be that. Like, you know, you can have flexibility, and that's how life is, too. You just adjust to what's going on. So even, like, if, you know, you, I don't know, you meant to have vegetables at dinner, and then you had something else on hand, like, don't beat yourself up. Like, you know, just, I think planning is great. I love just talking about planning ahead of time and then seeing what works. But yeah, it's up to you on how you know, kind of figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. What about portion control? Because Dana is asking, any tips around finding a good portion balance without the rigid tracking? So she is trying to tune into her body more and be less calculated, which again is something I think as women we have to almost unlearn. So what's a good like portion balance without actually having to track it and become obsessive?
Well, you know, you answer that. Don't become obsessive. That's the answer. I try not, I don't, so just with me and my approach and to wellness, you know, the thing with portion sizes is that you can miss out on what your body is asking for if you feel as though you have to stick to a certain portion. And so that's where listening to your hunger and fullness cues come into play. That's where, you know, it's like, okay, I just ate a slice of pizza, right? So here's the thing, this great example. It's like, eat a slice of pizza. Okay, you know, it has this many calories. Oh my goodness. And then you eat it and you're like, man, like it, you know, this diagram said I can only eat one slice and drink a glass of water, but I'm really hungry and I'm about to go to sleep. And I know, like, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're feeling just, you know, your stomach is like on 100 and you're just feeling crappy. And it's like, man. But what if you know, you went back and, or you had some veggies to throw on the plate with it, or you had some healthy fat, you had like an avocado, or, you know, you added something else to make you kind of like more, like to fulfill that hunger and to be a little bit more full. Or it's like, okay, you got the pizza, it's one slice, and you're like, man, because I, you know, something told me I could only have one, but I would really want to go back for another. What should I do? Go back and get another slice. That's what it, listening to your body is. But also understanding that, you know, there are certain foods that you can add to make you feel a bit more full. So for you, if it works, you know, you have, you know, that I'm just throwing a salad in there because, I don't know, I like pizza and salad. So it's just my example. I'm not saying this is what you got to do. Okay, let me be clear. It's like, I can't give like a specific to like, this is how much you're supposed to have. The best advice I can give, it's like, listen to what your body is asking you for. You're still hungry, then, you know, figure out what you can do to make you feel fuller.
It's not a bad thing to be full, folks. It's not like, I almost feel like we're like, ooh, don't eat more because then you'll get full. It's really okay to feel full. It's good to feel satiated and full and to move on. It that's a fine thing. I think that diet culture has made it so that we are, you know, like so repelled by that. You know, it's like, oh, well, only eat till your stomach is whatever, 70% full, so you don't overdo it. It's like, well, really just eat till you're full. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to this question, but this is from Chris. She says, do you have any guidance on macronutrient timing? Is this important? So, you know, one of the big things that was going around for a while is like carb night. So only eating your carbs at night or whatever. So it's like, does it matter if we're eating the majority of our carbs in the morning versus the night, or should we just be doing balanced meals all day?
Yeah, I mean, even when you do balanced meals all day, we're not all perfect eaters. And I'm not a perfect eater. I am a dietitian, but it's like, what is perfect eating? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, like your stomach doesn't shut off at night. If you're hungry, eat. sorry to sound all like, but I'm just keeping it real. And that's really what I do. And, you know, if you're listening and you're like, girl, bye, then girl, bye to you too, respectfully. I love y'all. And so, yeah, you know, macronutrient timing, is it important? And I say no. I say, I think it's like, you know, including those things and having flexibility and also knowing that every day is going to change.
As like a follow-up question, because you mentioned fiber, I actually have a question from Marley, and this will be our last one. She says, I want to learn about the benefits of the types of fibers. I feel like we only talk about fat, protein, and carbs. Recently, I've upped my fiber content, and my digestion and regularity is better than ever. So what are the different types of fiber, and like, how do we get good fiber in our diet?
Dietary fiber is that, like, they say it's like roughage or like the bulk. So it includes, how do I explain this? It includes the parts of food, like plant foods, your body, it can't digest or absorb. Mm. Okay. So unlike your fats, your proteins, your carbs, which your body will actually break down and absorb, fiber is not digested by your body. So instead, it actually like leaves your digestive system, out your colon. That's when you do your number two. And so, yeah, fiber is really important, you know, maintaining your health. There's different types. So you'll have your soluble versus your insoluble fiber. So soluble, it dissolves, you know, in water. And this is the fiber that may help lower your blood cholesterol if that's something that you're struggling with. And then, you know, you'll find it in your oats, in your beans, you'll find it in your, you know, some fruits, vegetables. And yeah, I think that's in your whole grains, those kinds of things. And then insoluble, you'll find that in your whole wheat, flour, your wheat bran, your nuts, your beans. And so this kind of fiber really promotes the movement of material, whatever the material is, so like your food content, all that, through your digestive system, and it increased your stool bulk. Hmm. So for those who are like dealing with like constipation, have it bad, or just like irregular stools, or not like going to the bathroom every day, this kind of fiber would help to, you know, help you get things flowing mm-hmm. easier in your system. A lot of people don't get it. I mean, if there's a statistic out there, a lot of Americans don't meet their daily recommendations for fiber. Mm. I think for a woman, what is it? Is it 25 grams around that number? Don't quote me. I think it is about 25 grams. And so a lot of people aren't meeting that recommendation.
You were right. I Googled it. 25 grams for women.
Yeah. So it just, a lot of us don't get enough fiber, and it does so much for our body, even with our hormone regulation. So, I mean, like, yeah, you know, get more fiber in. Don't get so focused on the specifics, but there's a number of foods that provide that.
Thank you, Valerie, for being here. Talk to me more about where we can find more about you, because I know you have a really comprehensive website, and you also have an amazing Instagram, which I think is Flourish Heights, right? Is that correct?
Yes, super easy. Flourishing, baby. 2021, we are flourishing.
Love it.
So you can find me at Flourish Heights on Instagram. Connect with me there. You know, send me a DM. I love connecting with my community. I am all about community here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can go to my website. We write blogs. We have our email list. You can connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. You can, you know, send me an email. And then soon, in the next hopefully couple months, we are going to be launching our nutrition counseling services. We're also going to be doing group coaching. And so definitely, if you're looking for services, those kinds of services, reach out. We will be, you know, helping women who, you know, have fibroids and other women's health issues, whether it's like PCOS or endometriosis or just, you know, general wellness, those kinds of things. So yeah, we're going to be doing the thing. 2021 is everybody's year. Everybody.
Amen.
So,
I receive and believe that.
Yes, definitely connect with me. I look forward to hopefully getting to meet you all, and hope that, you know, you enjoyed some of the tips I provided today. Yes. And yeah, take charge of your health. And, you know, this is the time to flourish heights in your wellness journey. And then you're just going to be, you know, more energetic and feeling good and feeling great. And that's what matters. So, yeah.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you so much for being here. We'll link to everything, her Instagram and website and all that in the show notes. For more from me, you can go to coconutsandkettlebells.com. Make sure to join our Facebook group on Instagram. It's Well Fed Women Holistic Health Community. You can keep in touch with us there and talk about the episode and ask more questions. Thank you guys for being here. We will talk to you next week.